1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray your blessing upon it tonight, and ask you to quicken my heart and mind to your Holy Spirit and what you would say. And Lord, help us to hear what your Spirit would speak to us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Key phrase I want to look at here this evening is, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Overcoming. If you're going to overcome, you must have something that you've got to overcome. There must be a battle. And as Christians, we're engaged in a battle. We're engaged in a war. There are moments and times when this battle that we face, it seems that it's a long war, that it's always there. It's a long war. It's a real battle that we face. In the face of the battle that we have, however dark it may be, however difficult it may be, this scripture speaks to us about the fact that we can overcome. We can be overcomers. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Victory and overcoming. It's kind of like saying things twice there. This is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the win that's going to put us over the top. What is it that's going to push us through? What is it that's going to see us through? It's our faith. It's our faith. And we're in this battle. We're in this battle with the world. Jesus told his disciples there in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. He sat down with them there as he was at the Last Supper they partake of, and he washed their feet, and then he began to speak to them some important things that they would need to know as he was getting ready to offer himself as a sacrifice. And so he began to tell them, and one thing that he told them, he says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. He said there, Jesus was sinless, he was perfect, he was not of this world, and so they criticized him, they rejected him, they jeered him, they crucified him. And Jesus said, any follower of mine is going to face the same thing that I have faced. Rejection, difficulty, trouble, pain, sorrow, difficulty, these kinds of things. You're going to face it. You're in this world and you're going to face the same thing that I face. And he told his disciples, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, he began to tell them these things to strengthen them for the battle they were about to face, for the obstacle that they were about to have to endure. And we as well, we face a battle. There's a battle to win. There's a victory to win. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The world, what is the world? Who are we fighting? What is this world that we need to overcome? You know, in 1 John 1, 9, it talks about that He came into the world. Well, that's just the earth. That's the earth. That's the place that we live. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That's the people of the world. Romans 1 and 20 talked about that God created the world and this ordered universe. And that's not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about the earth or the people or the universe that God created. But this, what the world that he's talking about here, the world that we are to overcome, the world that he's talking about is this system that Satan has devised and set in order in this earth. It's the satanic system that's all around us. It's the enemy's place. It's brought about. He has organized it. He is working to bring about his purpose, to thwart God's plan, to put forth false ideas, to deceive, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It's his system that he's come to set up around us that we have to overcome. What is it that keeps people from coming to faith? Well, it's this faithless system of the world that the enemy has all around us. It's the false system of life and the false ideas that are around that keep people from seeing and understanding the gospel. It's this system of values, of what's important and what's not important. It's his way of keeping people deceived. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. His whole system is devised to defeat our faith. The battle we fight is a battle of faith. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What are they doing? They're attacking our faith. They're attacking our faith. They're attacking where we put our trust and our confidence. What does the enemy want us to do? What did the enemy want to accomplish in the children of Israel back in the Old Testament? We don't necessarily face this today, but what often happened in those battles was, is my God bigger than your God? I was reading this week about Elijah and how that the king of Syria came against the king of Israel and they won the battle, and it was on the mountains. And so the Syrian leaders, they said, well, wait a minute, the God of the Israelites, he must be a god of the mountain. Well, we serve the God of the valley, so we need to meet him on the plain. And so the next year they got their armies together and they came on the plain to attack the Israelites. But God was still God. God was still God. There was that attack of their faith to get them to put their faith in something besides Jehovah God. There was always this up and down thing going on in the book of Judges where that their faith would move away from God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and they would look to Moab and to Ashtaroth, or they would look to Molech, or to Baal, or some other god. They would look somewhere else to put their trust. Satan's system is to take our trust away from God and to put it on something else, to move it away from where our trust should be. We put our trust in things, in possessions. We put our trust in money. We put our trust in position. We put our trust in education and knowledge. These things that in and of themselves, we don't have a problem with statues of gold and statues of ivory. We don't have a big problem with that in these days. But we do have a problem with putting our trust in material things. Putting our trust in the things that we have, or the position that we own, or the education that we have. These are the things we look to and we put our trust in and we transfer our allegiance to. Satan's system is to get us to turn our allegiance somewhere else and to look somewhere else for our identity and our security. The things that God gives us can oftentimes become the thing that we worship and put our trust in. Job didn't let that happen, though. Job was a rich man. Job was a rich man. He had cattle, camels, servants. But when it all got taken away from him, his trust in God never moved. Because he looked at it all and said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, what was going on there? Satan was working a plan against him. Satan was working a plan against him. And this is the victory that overcame Satan's plan. It was Job's faith. He kept his faith in God. He kept his trust in God, regardless of what the enemy brought his way. Sometimes the enemy we have to fight is, especially in the United States, The enemy we fight is complacency and too much of a good thing. We're, as Brother Brian said, we're blessed above measure to have what we have in this nation and in our community and where we live. The rest of the world does not enjoy the blessings that we enjoy. But these material things are, in some respect, to our detriment when we put our trust in the almighty dollar, when we put our trust in the material things that we have, when we take our security from these things instead of from God. Job didn't take his security from the many things that he possessed, from the many things that he had. He wasn't looking at that for his security. He was looking to God. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. It's all gone now, but my trust is still in God. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Satan is looking to distract us. He's looking to cause us to bring for us to lose our faith and not be victorious. The world, it's always there. It's always pushing us. It's always trying to get us to trust in something besides God. 1 John chapter 2 lays out to us. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He said, love not the world. He talked about these three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and how that these things are, this is the draw of the world. The draw of the world, how that our body, our flesh, the impulses within us, the impulses of sin that we allow to reside in us, those impulses, those fleshly desires that in some regards they're okay, they're God-given. But when we allow them to move out of God's direction, when we move out of God's design for the flesh and for the body, it's then that we find ourselves in sin. The impulses of sin that we allow to reside in us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the greed, the gazing at things around us. And we just think, well, if I had that, it would all be better. How many things do you have in your house right now that a few years ago you said, if I only had it, and now it's in a corner somewhere, it's broken down, and it doesn't mean anything to you now. But back then, it was special to your eye. That's the way the world is. Causes us to put our gaze somewhere else besides on Him. Causes us to set our affections on things of this world and of this life, the lust of the eye, to want more, to reach for more, to gaze at the things of this life, to long for it. And instead of our hearts longing being for God and for our relationship with Him, instead of our hearts longing being to know Him better and to be close to Him, our hearts longing and our hearts desire begins to reach out for things and position and power and place and prestige. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Our desire for credit. Our desire to outshine somebody else. Arrogancy and pride. Self-centeredness. A way of looking at the world that I want. The enemy wants us to live for self. He wants us to get that attitude of selfishness and pride. Self-sufficiency. Me, myself, and I. Whenever you see a marriage breakdown, it's oftentimes, somebody's thinking more selfishly than they should. When you see a difficulty among anybody, there's always probably on both parts. When I bring kids into the office, there's usually something both of them could do to fix it. But our pride keeps us from doing it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The enemy wants to drag us into that worldly system. He wants to drag us into that worldly system, but it's not of the it's that his this what he has established, what he is doing. But it's a system that's not going to last. It's all deception. It's all deceiving. This system of the world that he has established. It's because we just read in verse 17 of chapter 2, the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, everything that you strive for in this life is going to pass away. All those material possessions are going to pass away. Any position you have, it's going to be forgotten. This world passeth away. When you put your heart on the things of this life, I read one person, he said, if my heart is in the system, it is on the things of this world, I'm always at a funeral. Because what I'm after will always pass away. What I'm longing for will always perish. This worldly system, the enemy, he wants to deceive us. He wants to bring us. But it's a battle to overcome. It's a battle to overcome, to face the enemy, his way, his means, to take our trust and to move it away from God. James chapter 4 says, talk to those believers, and he used some pretty ugly words because they were looking at the world. He used some words that when you read the Scripture, if you're used to reading the Scripture, you kind of pass over it, but it's really pretty ugly. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Those are ugly words. Those are strong accusations of unfaithfulness, of not keeping your covenant. But that's what the world, the draw of the world does. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world... Now, that's not talking about the people. Not John 6, 3:16 world. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God. Friendship with this system. If you subscribe to it. If it's what you're going to follow. If he's saying you've got to separate yourself from the world. You've got to separate yourself from the way, that old way that you used to do things. Selfishness and pride and deceit. There's a new way that Christians operate. There's a new place that we put our trust. There's a new direction for our life. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He uses some strong words there. Enemy. Oh, not just you know, not acquainted. Not just unknown. But enemy. And that's what Satan is attempting to do. He wants to bring us to that dividing point. He wants to pull us away from God and make us enemies with God. That's what happened in the Old Testament. He would get them to move their allegiance and their trust over to somewhere else, and then they become God's enemy. And that's what God told him. He said, as long as you'll serve me, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. But if you don't... So the enemy's tactic, he's using this world system to cause us, to pull us away from the things of God. And it's a battle that we fight every week and every day. You're never completely finished with this fight until the Lord comes back or until you meet Him. Because the enemy is always out there in front of us. He's talking to us in the media. He's talking to us through our relationships. He's speaking to us through our own inner desires and fleshliness. He's always attacking. But this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. These people that James was talking to, they wanted to be committed to God, but they wanted to remain allies of the world. They wanted to keep their affair with the world. And James is saying it doesn't work. In a marriage, you can't have your wife and then an affair. It doesn't work. That's not going to be a good arrangement in the home. And it's the same thing in a spiritual life. You can't have this affair with the world and have love of God at the same time. Jesus said you're either going to love the one and hold to it and hate the other. You're going to cling to the one or despise the other. You're not going to be able to ride that fence. Oh, the enemy could deceive you into thinking you can manage to do it. But James says, whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And John told us to love not the world. Jesus assured us of victory, though. There in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You talk about the battle and the fight, and you feel the drudgery, and you feel the pressure of it. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I've done it. There is a victory that you can experience. We overcome through Him. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. We have a greater power in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, than the enemy. Oh, he may seem to have a lot of power and a lot of influence around us, but greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. He gives us the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus, John told them in the text that we read that the enemy wants us to transfer our love and our devotion away from God. But the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. When we transfer and we as Abraham, that he went to a city that he did not see, but he went looking. He transferred his faith. He said, I'm going to leave where I'm at, and I'm going somewhere else. He put his confidence in God. And we transfer our love and our concerns from the ways of the world. We transfer our love from the ways of the world to God. We begin to look. And so he said there in verse 3 of chapter 5, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. If you love God, you begin to look and say, okay, God, I want to follow You. I want to do what You have called me to do. I want to move away from this world system. I want to quit organizing my life under the way the world tells me to organize it. And Lord, I want to follow You and organize my life the way You tell me to do that. And so we transfer our allegiance from one place to the other. And we say, Lord, I'm putting my trust and my confidence in You. We begin to search the Word. We begin to listen to godly counsel. We begin to pray and seek the face of God. And when we hear and we understand what God wants us to do, you know what we do? We do it. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You know, faith is not just faith. There's action in faith. James said, faith without works is dead. And so when we say, I'm moving my faith from the things of this life because I know that it's all going to perish, and I'm putting my faith in an eternal God, that's a concept that's believed in our mind. It's held to be true in our heart. But it affects what we do. And we begin to take steps of faith and we begin to follow God. We begin to obey Him. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. When you're a sinner, the things of God seem to be a burden. But when you put your faith in God, the things of God are no longer a burden, but they're a joy to follow God. and the things of the world become a burden. His commandments are not grievous. He's talking about overcoming the world. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. When you have been born again, when God has given you faith, when God has put faith in your heart, you overcome the world. Everyone born of God. Who overcomes the world? Everyone born of God. How do they overcome the world? By faith. By faith. It's faith, His victory. The victory that He won for us. We put our faith in that. He's already overcome the world. We put our faith in Him. It goes on to say, He that overcometh the world... Who is he that overcometh the world? John asked the question, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice in all of that right there, it's all about faith. It's all about putting our trust and our confidence somewhere. You know, the difficulty of overcoming, the difficulty of doing something, it really is measured in relation to the power of the doer. You know, when we're out doing something in the yard and there's something that needs moved and Esther tries to go pick it up, she may not be able to move it. It's difficult for her. Well, Seth, he may come over and try it. He's a little bigger and he might get a little bit done. But I'm the big man at the house and I can walk over often and pick it up. See, the difficulty of a task, of overcoming the world, it's really a matter of the relation of the ship between the what needs to be done and the power of the doer. Well, you know how we overcome? It's through Him. I don't have to move it. I don't have to pick it up. He has already picked it up for me. He's already bore the burden to Calvary. He has already paid the price. He has already made the way. I don't have to make the way. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't have to prepare that place. He's already done it for me. He has accomplished the task. All I have to do is put my faith in Him and say, Lord, You have accomplished the task, and I'm ready to follow You because You bring us the victory to overcome the world. Oh, the power of faith. The power of faith. The power to overcome. The Bible says, Hebrews says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is important. We put our faith in what God has said. One guy wrote, he said, faith is the foot of the soul, so it comes to Christ. Faith is the hand of the soul, so it receives Christ. Faith is the arm of the soul, so it embraces Christ. Faith is the eye of the soul, so it looks upon Christ. Faith is the mouth of the soul, so it feeds on Christ. Faith is the lips of the soul, so it kisses Christ. Our faith reaches up to Him. Our faith looks at Him. We just keep it on Him all the time. Our faith is in Him. Faith, we have, the Old New Testament described it as a like precious faith. It's a precious faith. The faith that we have, it's a valuable thing. It comes only from God. He gives us faith to believe. And by faith, we're justified. By faith, we're sanctified. By faith, we live. By faith, we stand. By faith, we walk. All of these things we do by faith, not in our own power, not in our human strength, not in our know-how, not in our ability and our smarts, but it's by faith that we do these things. And our faith, it's a faith. Paul talked to the Thessalonians, and he talked to them about their faith as it was growing, as it was growing in our faith, as we learn more about our loving Savior. As we learn more about His Word, as we embrace more of His Word, our faith should be growing. Our faith should be becoming stronger because of it. And and it needs to be strong because our faith is a shield for us. Because what's the enemy doing? He's shooting at us. He's shooting at us. He's trying to get us hooked back into his system. He's trying to get us to give stock to the ways of the world, to self and to pride, to lust and to envy, to sensuality and materialism. He's trying to get us to go back to that direction, and so he's always shooting at us. But it's our faith that is our shield. It's our faith that is our protector. Paul talked about fighting the good fight of faith, where that we hold fast our profession of faith. It's our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It begins to grow as we learn His Word, as we know His Word and we see His faithfulness. It begins to grow as we go from little faith to great faith. Brother Kevin Lloyd, once he was preaching about Peter in the boat and how that he stepped out of that boat and he walked on water. And then he began to sink. And when Jesus reached down and spoke to him, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, now, wait a minute. Little faith walked on water for a few minutes, for a few seconds? Well, I think little faith's pretty powerful. Little faith's pretty powerful. Just think if we made it from little faith to great faith, to greater faith. Not human faith, but absolute faith in an absolute, perfect, faithful God. His Word, as we know His Word. You know what? He has faith in His Word. He puts He is faithful. What He has said is true. He said, "My Word will not return void." God puts faith in His own Word. And we can put faith in His Word as well. His Word will not return void. When the enemy says it's not true, you can mark that one out. That promise isn't for you. When the enemy says it's not so, when the enemy says it doesn't matter, we can say His Word will not return void. Because He stands behind His Word. The omnipotent God stands behind what He said. And we can go in faith. You go through Hebrews chapter 11. And what does it say about all of those people? What is it that brought them to the place of recognition in Hebrews chapter 11? Was it their know-how? Was it their knowledge? Was it their strength? No, it was their faith. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. These men, Enoch was translated into the kingdom of God. Noah, he heard the warning and built an ark. Abraham heard the call of God and obeyed and stepped out and even went to offer his own son. By faith, Moses, he refused the riches of Egypt to take up the cause of God's people and to be their deliverer. By faith, he went on through. Joshua, he marched around the walls, believing they would fall down. By faith, Gideon, David, all of these men did these things. By faith, it's by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The mightiest of men are the men mighty in faith. Abraham took his steps of action. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In all of these situations, it would have been possible. In these men in Hebrews chapter 11, they even failed in some regard. They failed on occasion in their faith, but they persevered in their faith. And God saw them through. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Putting our faith and our trust in God. It's like he repeats himself there in those, we're going to overcome. You're an overcomer. You just got to believe. You just got to believe. Victory that comes through faith. He that believeth in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. It's our faith. Recognizing who He is. And recognizing who we are. He is the Son of God. He is the one true God. He is our Savior and our Lord. He gave Himself for us. And who am I? I'm the bride of Christ. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I am His child. Those two concepts. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is He and who am I? And He's told me all about it. It's in His Word. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank You. Lord, that we can put our faith and trust in You. Lord, I pray for this congregation, for each and every one of these believers. Lord, that You would strengthen their faith. Lord, as the enemy attacks them, as the enemy tries to discourage them and cause them to try to put trust in self. I can make it. I can do it. Or, Lord, try to put their trust in things. I need this or I need that. Lord, as the enemy tries to put pressure on us to turn away from You, Lord, we pray that You would strengthen our faith. Lord, that You would help us to put our trust in You. Remind us of who You are. Remind us of how great You are. Remind us of Your great love. Remind us of Your great mercy. Remind us of Your great grace. Remind us of the great hope that we have in You. Remind us of the home in heaven that we have awaiting. Remind us, Lord, that our faith might be strengthened. Lord, help us to put our confidence and our trust in You. Thank You, Lord, for Your faith. Thank You, Lord, for the faith that You give us. Thank You for the work You've done. Lord, help us to see what the enemy is trying to do. And Lord, hold fast our profession of faith. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord for what You've done, for Your greatness, for Your mercy and Your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Victory. We have victory in You. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.